Well, you might notice I am not Sten-Erik Armitage. Some of us are really hoping for that second advent more than others. You might have been expecting someone different, but God has chosen fit to send me this morning. And I think there's the application for us all. We all look for somebody else, but God has sent us into this world. And so I'll get a little bit more into some of the details after we go through just a few, words and definitions. This is the Advent season, is it not? We've been singing songs, we've been praying, even wonderful musical bell melodies, just wonderful. But we don't get what it is in the Advent, the arrival, the coming, notable person, thing, or event. The world wonders what we mean by Advent, and we are those who should bear witness to that. And so, Advent, which should have anticipation accompanying it. You can see this definition, the action of anticipating something, an expectation, a prediction, anticipation. We have the anticipation. We have the promise fulfilled of his first coming, and we anticipate in this season his soon return, which should produce within us a yearning. I will probably do this a lot just to make sure that the slides are where they're supposed to be, so forgive me. Yearning. I'm yearning to know that it is there. A feeling of intense longing for something, which brings me to this circumstance where I find myself before you this morning. Now, I will tell you that Sten-Erik is beside himself. Flight after flight canceled in Newark, trying desperately to get back to Dallas. We've been texting for several days. I have been praying feverishly. And yet the day arrives. I have gotten text after text. It was he and I and Lisa on a lot of these going back and forth. And then every once in a while, he would send one just between he and me. And this morning it was, I'm praying. I'm feeling guilty and praying. And I told him, don't feel guilty. I'm going to the pulpit, not the stake. I will tell you, though, at least I hope that is the case. And I was comforted in the predicament by the great words that we all come to know and are familiar with and sometimes trust. It came from Egg Roll Yeah restaurant, the fortune cookies. It just so happened I was eating egg drop soup yesterday, and they threw in a couple of fortune cookies. And this is what the first fortune read. This is a good time for you to take a risk. You will succeed. True. So, and then I made the mistake of eating the second one. And it says, you will do better in real estate than in stocks. So if this doesn't work out, I know what direction to go. At any rate, Sten-Erik has put together just a wonderful consortium of slides. Because he's been traveling this week. And by the way, I would ask you to be in prayer for him. Because he really is in anguish. And he is separated from his family. And be in prayer for the Armitage family. Because they desperately want him to come back. He went to St. Andrews to follow up with his doctorate. And I believe that not much has been resolved. And there's been no progress. And so he's in anguish over that. He's alone. It's cold. He's trying to get back to his family. And so let's be in prayer for him. Right now, I'd want to pray. So pray with me. Father, in his absence, help me not to fumble the great gift he has given us. We miss his presence. We pray him well and return safely and soon. In the name of Christ, amen. Now, he was going to start by introducing his character, Moshe. I am not him. I don't do drama. He was traveling and going to be a traveler. I have my coat on as if I've just arrived. I'm not Moshe. I'm Bert. I'm not Stenerik. But to honor Stenerik, you look like a Moshe to me, or maybe a Miriam. And so put yourself 2,000 years ago in the first century intertestamental period and pretend that you are Jewish and we are traveling and me, Bert, shows up. Faithful Jew from the intertestamental period. And let's examine what it is that their expectation would have been. Now, understand he would be dressed in garb and really dramatize well. I'm borrowing his words and doing the best I can. So grace is key in the church, even though you're Moshe and Miriam. So let's begin. Growing up, you know, we observe Passover by speaking as though we were the ones who were slaves in Egypt. We were the ones set free. We were the ones who were spared. We were the ones who were delivered. Now it has been nearly 400 years since we last heard the word of God through the prophet Malachi. Where is this Messiah? Who is this deliverer? As I stand here on this journey, let me take you through the long-awaited journey of we, the Jewish people. You could say it all started in the beginning. The beginning, in fact. And it started off pretty good. Some would say very good. God did. But then, as stories often do, it took a turn. We fell, all of us. Through our first parents, we each chose to disobey, and we all became desperately in need of a Savior. But you know, one was promised. I'll talk. The Messiah, he will come as a human from a woman. He will come and destroy the enemy with such force as to bruise his own heel with his righteous anger. This deliverer, this Messiah, born of a woman, will stand with us as a brother. When these words were spoken to Job, our Redeemer lived. Even now, he lives. But when will he come? When will he at last stand upon the earth to deliver us? How long? They told us he would be a king who would stand for us, a king who would destroy those who stand against us. But at the same time, this king, he would be a prophet, like the greatest of old. This king and this prophet, he would be a voice as if from God himself. Yet mystery of mystery, this king, this prophet, he would be a priest, one who would stand before our holy God on our behalf. Where is he? Who will he be? Not only will he be the Son of Man by being born to a woman, he will also be the Son of God. Now, how can such a thing be? From the line of David, he will come to sit on the throne of an eternal kingdom. His reign will be perfect and unchallenged. I do not understand. He will be punished for God, for sins, yet his throne will be forever, and God's love will never be taken from him? How can the chosen one of God, a son of God, be punished for sins that are not his own? But now things begin to make more sense, while at the same time become even more enshrouded in mystery. The Son of God, he is no mere son. He is begotten by God. He shares with him one essence. He is divinity and has always been so. Could it be this Messiah is no mere man but God? All the world must worship this Messiah. He is terrible in power, yet he covers us with his wings. He shelters us, provides for us a refuge. Such a mystery, such a wonder, such a hope. And this Messiah, punished for sins that are not his own, this Messiah must die? How can such things be? Yet we are told that he will not mold and decay in the land of the dead, but that he will rise up imperishable.
Thank you.
rejoice. Rejoice. Our hope is with this Messiah. He who cannot be defeated by death, he who would lead us to the place of El Elyon, God Most High, where we might dwell with our God. No more curtain, no more mysterious glow of glory, but the very presence of God. The great prophet, he speaks many truths. At the same time, we've long known the Messiah would be born of a daughter of Eve. But a virgin? A virgin? Truly, this would be God with us, Emmanuel. We even know the region he will call home. But when will he come? The world is full of such darkness. We need to understand. We need to see this great light. A Messiah, a King, an advocate between us and the Father. Oh, how we have hungered for peace from the day we fell to the lies of the serpent to this present day where we struggle against the Seleucids, the Greeks, and the Romans. We hunger for this peace, this eternal throne. We believe it to be a certain truth. But when? How long? Come, O long-awaited prophet. No more sorrow. No more death. Can such a reality be? The burden and the pain of the sting of death, it plagues us. What is this promised life? For so long, we have been called to follow and obey. And for so long, we have failed. Not a generation has passed without God's people forgetting whose people they are. We have been promised this good shepherd, one we could follow at long last. It can be so hard to live in this promise when the promise has been awaited for so long. We want to know you, O King. Thank you. Another Exodus? Another coming out of Egypt? Could it be that this Messiah would come as a helpless child and then somehow come out of Egypt? May we have eyes to see. Humility. Humility. It seems so weak. But only the strongest and most worthy wear it well. We struggle to understand. We reach in vain for belief. How can this timeless one, this one who is God Himself, how can He come to be born? Have we missed Him? Has the Messiah come and gone because we, His people, did not know Him? Give Your people eyes to see, O Lord. We hunger for Your truth. We thirst for Your righteousness. We have failed to be Your people, but You, O God, have never failed to be our God. May we continue to trust in this coming light, this Messiah, this Christ. But come quickly. Come. Moshe, Miriam, and all of Israel, at the end of the intertestamental period, they were anxiously waiting on the coming of the long-awaited, the long-promised Messiah. They were waiting on the advent, the coming of God into the world. Now we, Redeemer Bible Church, in the 21st century, most of the world still lies in the dominion of darkness, under the curse of sin, death, and the devil, waiting. But light has come and is still coming. Even on a cold day in Dallas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and in his name it shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.